This conference is being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call on this Monday, June 9th, 2008. Going from having to getting to. getting to, as opposed to all the getting and getting and getting. Well, it's just a delight to have those who are here live on the call, and I welcome those also who are listening to this as a recorded archive. My name is Sheva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of Sierra. Sierra is both a company as well as a feeling. We invented the word Sierra to describe that feeling of total satisfaction and peace, that feeling of well-being and at the same time, passion and exuberance for life and deep peace and compassion for the challenges that you meet in life. That's Sierra, whereas we more succinctly call it that great feeling when your arms flip over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. And it turns out that not only does Sierra feel good, it's good for you. And because it's good for you, there's an understanding from a research institute in Northern California called HeartMath as to what happens to us when we feel good inside, when we fall in love with another person or with an activity or a favorite food even. It's not the object of our love that produces the good feeling. It's a feeling of, it's what happens physiologically inside of us when we feel good that produces the good feeling. And thankfully, we can tap that of our own accord, independent of our circumstances. And that's very good news, because anybody who comes to this call and is alive on planet Earth in the year 2008 and beyond is certainly encountering, if not personally, then globally, circumstances that are far from ideal. And the good news is we can feel good even in the midst of challenging circumstances, and that when we do, when we learn the skill and have the freedom to make the choice to feel good in spite of challenges, it changes the way that our nervous system works, the way that our hormones work. It even changes the way that our brains work. And in changing the way the brain works, it changes how we see life and how we respond to life. And as we master that skill, which has something to do with the heart, because it's the heart talking to the brain, the nervous system, the hormones, the immune system, and all of these different facets of our human experience, the heart interfaces with all of that in a unique way when we feel good inside. And when we change the way our internal rhythm works, it changes how we respond to life, and we become, instead of radios playing collective static, we become radio stations broadcasting a new possibility for all of humanity. And that's what Sierra, the company, is about teaching people to tap into the power of the heart, to feel good anywhere, anytime, in spite of, and, or I should say not always in spite of, but sometimes in spite of circumstances, to become at cause for better circumstances for the whole world. Now that may seem like a lot to bite off and chew, but we have a pretty good time here doing that, don't we, Lauren and Sharon?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Lauren and Sharon are members of our year-long program called Heart Mastery. So we will open up the lines for any questions you have or any stories of your own you want to share at a certain point. And it's always nice to have Heart Mastery members show up on these Heart Start calls because they can answer questions and share their own direct experience as well, not just me blabbing away. But so these Heart Start calls are a free gift that we give back to the community, a way to invite you into the Sierra family. And what does that mean? Joining the Sierra family doesn't mean you pay us a lot of money. Joining the Sierra family simply means that you're committed in whatever way you choose to live your life from the heart. Heart-based living means living and choosing to live in synchrony, in a synchronization with internal peace and care for the whole, which changes, as we said, your heart rhythm to a uniquely ordered pattern. This is the piece of research that put HeartMath on the map, that the whole idea of a broken heart has some direct scientific correlation to the fact that when we're upset or distressed emotionally, it causes a chaotic pattern in the heart which scrambles our ability to think clearly, compromises our immune system, and increases stress hormones, which are now implicated in every major modern disease, from cancer to diabetes to heart disease to early aging. We're able to measurably, through a simple system of tools that HeartMath developed, teach people how to shift back to an ordered pattern in their heart by managing their emotions, thereby measurably lowering stress hormone levels, and therefore measurably lowering the risk of these major modern diseases. But perhaps more significantly, as we mentioned earlier, shifting the way the brain works so that what looks challenging or what looks like lack or what looks stressful can twist in our perception and tilt slightly, the same way that you might look at an optical illusion and see it one way from one angle and another from another. Our stress becomes, in the face of the eyes of the heart, somewhat like an optical illusion. And we tilt our view and we see things in a new way, and what was challenging becomes an opportunity. What was challenging may even become something we're grateful for. And gratitude itself amplifies this order, internal order in the heart. And so at Fiera, we're committing to bringing tools, techniques, technology. There's actually a biofeedback technology that shows you your heart rhythm in real time and helps you heal the brokenness of our collective heart by shifting to that state of internal order from within, and seeing it reflected either on your computer or a little handheld device called the M-Wave, which is like a stress iPod, in real time helps guide you like a mirror back into this internal ordered pattern. And that piece of research is what put HeartMath on the map in terms of their scientific credibility, published in the American Journal of Cardiology. They discovered that when we're in a state of gratitude or appreciation, it creates order in the heart's rhythm, which, because of the heart's influence, rhythmic influence on the rest of the body-mind, creates internal order in all of the body systems. The heart operates like a grand conductor of the orchestra that is you. And when that conductor goes into a Tourette syndrome, if you will, starts going chaotic from stress, then all of the rest of our body systems have no clear leader to follow, and you get breakdown emotionally, mentally, in your work performance, in your relationships, ultimately in your health. And that can be reversed in a heartbeat, irregardless of how your circumstances go. And that's such good news. You know, I've worked with people in very extreme conditions. I've coached soldiers on deployment in Iraq in the middle of war zones. I've worked with people in every walk of life, and I have yet to meet one that doesn't ultimately have a heart and power within that to change themselves and appreciate what is. And that's really what tonight's call is about, is the potency within the heart and the peace we can find there to recognize the value of things exactly as they are. Now, one of the things I love about the HeartMath system and the HeartMath tools, and why I chose to teach this system when I was offered the opportunity to teach many different avenues of awakening and avenues of healing, is that HeartMath is not just about, oh, well, just make peace with what is and sit on a mountaintop cross-legged in Om. Heart math is very much about care, because care is one of those, what we call fiera feelings, that brings order to the heart's rhythm. And care is not just being at peace with what is. Care is love in action. So it is possible from this more coherent place to affect profound change for the better in our world. We're not saying to deny the problems or the issues in your own life or in the world. But as Einstein said, we can't solve our world or personal problems from the thinking that created them. We've got to bring a new way, a new approach. And in my experience, the intelligence that lies at the heart of who you are has that innovation within it. And so the tools we teach allow people to tap into that innovation. And tonight, the angle that we're going to take on that, these Heart Start calls, always approach the heart from, you know, how it applies in different situations. And for those who are new to this, there are dozens and dozens of these free teleclasses archived on our website. You can find them at www.fiera.com, F like fantastic, YERA.com/heartstart. That's all one word. So fiera.com/heartstart.html. And there we have dozens of these teleclasses on the heart and its intelligence and the internal order you can generate in the heart with the heart math tools, how that applies in many, many different circumstances, from anger management to overcoming traumatic memories and abuse to making a difference in the world. And tonight we're going to talk about a shift from a thought inside, I have to a thought inside, I get to, where stress and the mind and the static of stress within the mind can perceive situations or challenges in life as I have to do X, Y, or Z. That tilt in consciousness of the heart often will allow us to say, I get to do X, Y, or Z. And that may seem like a trite little play on words, but the truth of the matter is entitlement has become such a significant issue, even in a corporate setting, that we are in dialogue with some major governmental organizations on a $6 million contract where the key issue they want us to tackle is the entitlement of Generation X and Y, because it's causing so much problems and new hires inside the government. So what is entitlement? You know, entitlement is the attitude that I deserve it, that I'm owed something. And we live, everybody who's live on the call tonight, not those who are listening to archives, but everyone who's live on the call tonight is from North America. Really the most affluent culture probably in the history of humanity. I don't remember what the percentages are, but we are a small percentage of the world's population, and we are using the vast majority of the world's resources. You guys know this, right? Mm-hmm. And we live in a time period of unprecedented ease. Meaning, if you want to wash your clothes, you drop them in a machine. If you want to wash your dishes, you drop them in a machine. Well, maybe not drop them, but you put them in a machine, right? If you want to vacuum your carpet, we even have carpeting, right? Forget dirt floors. If you want to vacuum your carpet, you got another machine. We are the perhaps the first generation to have been raised with so many amenities. You know, when I was 18, I lived in a Nicaraguan war zone, and we washed our clothes in the river by hand, right? So I was incredibly fortunate because I lived with the what we would consider unfortunate, and yet what I discovered was my own entitlement. They woke me up to that because the simplest things that I would take for granted on a daily basis, like running water, like a shower, you know, we would carry buckets from the river and just dump a bucket over our head, and that was our shower. The smallest things that I took for granted, the people there in the war zone in Nicaragua when I was 18 years old appreciated so much. They taught me how to live. They taught me how to appreciate. And the heart tools remind me of that. But even still, even with heart math, even with the background I have, it's easy for me to start to take things for granted again. And to then start to feel things like self-pity or lack or have X, Y, or Z, you name it, fill in the blank, right? A relationship with this person I want, or this much money in the bank, or this contract, or a nicer place to live, or whatever it is, because truthfully, in our North American culture, we're inundated with messaging all the time that tells us you're not complete unless you have more of blank. So the purpose of these Heart Start calls, sort of backwards, right, because we, of course, are running a company as well, and we sell programs and that kind of thing. But the purpose of them is to tell you that you don't need anything else to be complete. You don't even need our classes to be complete. That's the truth. You're complete right now inside your own heart, and every moment has gifts in it for you when you open your heart to the moment. Now, if you're like me, you needed some tools to remember that. And so those of you that read the invitation to tonight's call know that I apply those tools on a regular basis still. And about a week and a half ago, I was in this cab, right, on a cab ride to the airport and could catch myself in those entitlements. And entitlement is not morally wrong or bad. That's not why I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up because entitlement blocks us from our own heart and from being able to receive the gifts of every moment in life. So these kids I worked with, these street kids in Nicaragua when I was a teenager, had no entitlement. I mean, they didn't have parents. They didn't have shoes. They didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. They had no education. So everything they got, they appreciated. It wasn't that they were saints. It was just, and I'm just going to acknowledge we're getting some background noise from folks. One thing you can do is press *6 on your phone, and that will mute your line. And then when we open up the call for you to share or ask questions, all you do is press *6 again, and that reopens up your line so we can hear you. Just gives you a little more freedom to not have to worry about your background noise and distracting others. So I remember when I arrived in Nicaragua, and I had so wanted to have something to give the kids, the street kids that live there. So I came with a backpack filled with pens, right? Someone had told me the kids wanted pens. And the first day I arrived, I was in a Salvadoran restaurant ordering some quesadillas, and these little kids who were 9 and 7 years old, I think, and Raquel and her sister, came up to me. And the first thing they did, they looked at me with these eyes as big as saucers, and they said, "Muchacha, ¿tienes lapiceros o bolígrafos?" Which means, "Do you have pens or pencils?" And, I swore I felt like I won the lottery. They really wanted my pens. So here I got out my backpack, and they couldn't believe a whole box of pens I handed them, right? I don't think they'd ever seen that many pens at once. And I gave it to them, and they pulled them out, and they started trying to write on the back of my napkin, and the pens didn't work. Ugh. I was crushed, right? The pens didn't work. I was like, oh, no. I had boxes and boxes of these pens in my backpack. I was like, what happened? Is it the cabin pressure in the airplane, or why weren't the pens working? these kids were so not deterred by that. They appreciated these pens so much. Within 5 minutes, 9-year-old Anna Raquel had set up an assembly line of 5- and 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds who were passing the pens one by one down this assembly line. One person would disassemble them. Another one was sucking on the end of them. The other person would put them back together. The other person was scribbling with them, and they got every single one of those pens working.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, if that had been me pulling those pens out of that box, I would have went, ugh, this box of pens doesn't work, and I would have thrown it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our entitlement prevents us from receiving the gifts that are right here. As a matter of fact, because of the impact on the brain, you see, entitlement is a form of stress. We don't think of that, but it is. And what stress does, all stress, causes us to close down the thinking centers of the brain, the higher perceptual centers of the brain. The technical term for that, and we teach about it at length in our beginner course, is called cortical inhibition. Literally, the frontal lobes of the brain shut down when we're in cortical inhibition, when we're in stress of any kind, emotional distress. And when the perceptual centers of the brain shut down, we don't perceive clearly what's happening. We don't perceive the whole picture, the bigger picture. We don't capture with our senses all that's here in this moment right now. And so literally, when we stress about lack, we create more lack because we close our very eyes, our very ears, our very senses to the abundance that's right here right now. So the truth is, what our classes here at Fira do is they open your heart to what's already here. What's here right now? What's right now? So I was in this cab on my way to LAX, on my way to the airport a week and a half ago, and I can't even say that I woke up on the wrong side of the bed or anything like that. It was just an average, ordinary day, and I was getting ready to go on this trip and got into the cab and had, you know, just kind of the usual litany of things to do running in my mind, and gosh, I wish I'd called the cab 10 minutes earlier because now I'm going to be late for work and then da-da-da-da and I need to leave early today to catch my plane and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we hit, I live in a place that's surrounded by schools. We've got elementary schools, preschools, even a college and a junior high school right across the street. So schools everywhere, and because I'd left just 10 minutes late, it meant boom, we were stuck in school drop-off traffic. And the crossing guard held up her sign, and a flood of kids crosses in front of the cab. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm looking at the meter running, and I'm going, oh, no, no, I'm really going to be late. And the, you know, mind chatter continues. And then I look up, and I see the stop sign, and it's almost like it's talking directly to me. And I'm like, okay, wait, I could stop this. That's right. I have tools. And this is really what heart math is. You know, it's one thing to be able to go off and meditate or have wonderful retreats and meditations and get into higher states of consciousness where you can appreciate what is and live in the moment. And or it's wonderful to have lovers and, you know, other idyllic situations that we get into where we can live and feel and touch and tap our heart and what it's like to have that heaven on earth feeling of living from the heart. But the beauty of the heart math tools is that they let us tap into that way of being in the midst of situations like the crossing guard when you're trying to catch a plane, right? Right on the spot when life maybe isn't going at least how you perceive it your way. So there she is, their stop sign, and I'm like, oh, wait, mind, mental, chatter, stop. And I used a tool we teach in the beginner webinar called Quick Coherence. And I just shifted my attention to the area around my heart and practiced the Quick Coherence tool. And it completely presenced my attention. And suddenly I could appreciate the laughter of the kids and the sun streaming through the cab, and all the significance came out of, you know, whether I got to work on time or not. It really wasn't that big of a deal. And as I became more and more present, or what we would say in heart math terms, cortically facilitated, meaning now that my heart was back in an ordered pattern, my mind, literally the brain, opens up, perceives more what's right here, right now. And I became aware of the cab driver that was sitting next to me and just how joyful this human being was. An astonishing man. But I mean, you know, it was like, yeah, if I had stayed in my, okay, got to get this done, do I have enough cash for the cab, and da-da-da-da, I would have just paid him, gotten out of the cab, and never even noticed him. I'm sure I've done that dozens of times. This time I stopped. I went to the heart. And what a remarkable human being. He felt me get more present, and he just looked at me and smiled and said, wow, it's so warm today. And I said, yeah, that's unusual for this early in the morning. And he smiled back in complete non-judgment and full, joyful, playful engagement and just said, well, that's not that unusual. He said, usually it's getting warm around 5 in the morning now. And there was something in the way that he said it that just stopped me again. I had to ask him more questions. So I said, well, how do you know it's getting warm at 5 in the morning? Are you in your cab already? And he began to tell me about his life. And as he told me about his life, you know, he's from Jordan. He's been living here, I think he said, for 15 years, off and on. And I began to wonder how many treasures are there in every cab in Los Angeles and every waiter or waitress. How many treasures are there everywhere that I miss when I'm in my own speedy, entitled world? It turns out that this guy works as a security guard from 5 to 10 every night. Oh, no, I'm sorry, from 10 to 5. So 10 at night to 5 every morning. And then from 5 in the morning until 6 at night, he drives the cab. And I looked at him and I said, how in the world do you sleep? Like, when do you find time to sleep? And he laughed. Oh, this is so great. I get to sleep between 6 and 10 at night. And I also get to go home and make myself dinner, and I love to cook rice. And here he is just, like, appreciating his life like it's the most wonderful thing. And here I've been, like, with my own litany of, gosh, I wish I didn't have to do that, and I've got to get that done, and oh, I've got to do that before my flight. And he's in this life that to me sounds like torture, and he's, I get to do this, I get to do that. And as I sat with him, and, you know, it wasn't like I was comparing us, but I was feeling the contrast in myself, in my own heart. And the difference I felt, because we're both passionate, you know, and what we came to is that his passion is his children. He's got 5 children and a wife in Jordan, and he does this 9 months out of the year so that he can send every one of his children to university. And he's passionate about that vision. And, of course, I'm passionate to bring more Fiera into the world. So we both share passion. But where we veer apart is he had no entitlement. He didn't feel like life owed him anything. He didn't feel like life owed his children this university education. So it gives him joy and pleasure to create that for them. What looks like a huge sacrifice to somebody like me, for him is a pleasure that he gets to do. So he spends 3 months out of the year with his family and 9 months out of the year with his family in his heart. And there are billions of people on this planet like him. These ordinary, everyday heroes. And meeting him was such a gift for me because it called me to use my own tools and wake up to something like the water that a fish swims in, the terrain of ode or entitlement that leads me to feel like I have to do certain things instead of I get to. So the reason I wrote this Heart Start for this week was just that I've been playing with the possibility of I get to. And that in looking at life as I get to, whatever it is, I get to brush my teeth. The kids that we work with through our foundation in Nicaragua don't even have toothbrushes or toothpaste, right? So many times when I'm tired at night, I've got to brush my teeth before I can go to bed. What about I get to? That attitude replacement, something so simple as that single attitude replacement, we know from the research at HeartMath, produces a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart that then changes even how other people and other events in life respond to us. The electrical field of the heart extends measurably, just by crude scientific instruments, 8 feet beyond your body. So when you are in an attitude of the heart, like I get to, you're broadcasting that beyond you and attracting to you people, places, experiences, events that are harmonious with it. So this is why HeartMath's tagline is, a change of heart changes everything. And I was just kind of delighted to share with all of you my little change of heart inside a cab on the way to LAX. And what I'd like to do, because always in these Heart Start calls, we want to make the impact practical for you. I'd like each one of you to just take a moment. And ideally, you have a pen and a piece of paper, and you could do a brainstorm of what it is that you take for granted, or what it is even that you yearn for that you may feel entitled to or owed. Just self-honesty here. No one else needs to see your paper. A teacher of mine said to me once that really profoundly moved me. He said, Sheva, whatever you feel entitled to or owed, you give. In feeling that, you give away your power to create it. You give up the power to create it. If you feel owed something, you give up the power to create it. Now, HeartMath science can help us understand why that is. Because feeling owed implies feeling it's unfair, and feeling it's unfair is a stressful feeling that causes that subtle chaos in the heart rhythm, which shuts down the brain, shuts down our inner resources that give us that ability to generate and create in life. Our creativity, our inner harmony, our peace, our innovation, and of course our collaboration, because others can feel this disharmony within us. So what do you feel owed or entitled to? And just for yourself to make a list of those things, what do you take for granted? In the invitation to tonight's call, I use drinking water as an example. The vast majority of the world's population does not have access to clean drinking water. I even got some emails back in disbelief, thinking I was exaggerating that. There are some websites that you can look at that show you. And, of course, it's one of the number one causes of deaths in children internationally, because the lack of clean drinking water leads to dysentery, which leads to dehydration and starvation. So if you, and you know, here in North America, not only do we have sanitized tap water, but most of us drink bottled water to boot, right? You have access to clean water right now. That's something you can appreciate. So from your own list, things that you may either take for granted or just feel like they should be yours. Came up last night, actually. I went out to a movie with some friends. We went out to dinner afterward. And all three of us ordered the same thing. And the waiter brought all three of us the wrong dish. And there's that moment, right, of like, I'm in a restaurant. I should get what I ordered, right? That moment of entitlement. And the three of us kind of looked at each other. And when the waiter came by, it just felt right when he said, is everything okay? We just said, it's wonderful.
Wow.
We just enjoyed the meal and each other. It was like, it didn't really, ultimately didn't make that much difference to us that we didn't get what we ordered. It was beautiful food. Now, that doesn't mean you couldn't ever, you know, acknowledge, this isn't actually what I ordered. Would you mind taking it back and bringing me what I did or whatever? It's not like that's a bad, morally wrong thing to do. It's just in that moment, because of where we were inside, we recognized our own entitlement and it was just unnecessary. It didn't need to take away from the moment of joy we were sharing. But that's a classic situation where entitlement reveals itself, right? I ordered something and I didn't get what I wanted, or it's cold or whatever. And all it does is we become dissonant with what is. We become incoherent inside. And the heart math tools and the heart math system help us in higher ratios and more often to be in that internal order that makes us vehicles of harmony externally as well. Not to become saints, not to, not because it's morally right, simply because it feels better. It really feels better. So take a moment for yourself and look at the list of things you've written. The things that you could also get to this list with the I have to dot, dot, dot. What are the things you have to do? And as you examine your own list, just give yourself a moment to breathe sincere and genuine gratitude or appreciation for each of those things you take for granted, for each of those things that you feel entitled to, or for each of those things you feel you have to do. See what happens when you play with the thought, I get to do this. And then just notice, how does it feel to be in that place of appreciation and gratitude, in that place of opportunity and possibility in your body? What does that do to your body? What does that do to your emotional content or your mental content, your thinking? Maybe just write down what you observe. And notice if there's any contrast between that and the previous attitude of I deserve this, I'm owed this, or I have to do this. What does that attitude do to your body? What does that attitude do to your emotion? What does that attitude do to your thinking? And what does it attract from the world? I'd like to open up the lines for any questions or also any stories of your own that you want to share about this experience. And just to let you know, this is just a taste of a shift that's possible in the heart. We're giving you a little appetizer hors d'oeuvre on 20 years of research from the Institute of Heart Math, and that which we, you know, you can stick your toe in the water in these calls, but there's also ways to go for a swim and even scuba dive, right? And so for those who are interested in the swim, we have a beginner class that's launching this week that you can join for the remainder of June. It runs every Tuesday evening. We also have a year-long course called Heart Mastery, and we have two Heart Mastery members on the call right now, maybe more. Some more may have chimed in while we were chatting. So you can also ask them questions about our year-long program if that's something that interests you and you really want a deep sea dive into the heart. Anybody have any you want to share anything from this experience or any questions you have?
This is Becky Fisher. Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you great.
Oh, okay. I wasn't really expecting anything, but I had a really profound experience quickly. I have a situation where I have PTSD and various things, and I'm completely disabled and unable to work and lots of problems even functioning, and I'm on Social Security, and there's a financial report that it's supposed to be filled out by my husband, but he won't do it, so I have to, and it's been such a big I have to, and I've been just absolutely terrified of it, and it's so difficult for me. It's months overdue, and I've been just terrified of it and just emotionally just shut down to where I can't do it, and I'm terrified about it, and all of a sudden that one just hit me that was such a huge I have to every single minute of my life, and I got it that it was an I get to, because I am not I don't feel entitled at all. I feel ashamed that I have to get this assistance, but I am so grateful and appreciative that all of a sudden I heard it and felt it all through my body that I get to do this paper monster so that I can get this money to live on, or I could be on the streets. And it was a huge, I mean, I just felt this rush all through my body. It just, the sensations, it was tremendous.
That's beautiful, Becky. It's a perfect example of the shift to the heart. You know, these are like little codes that open the lock on the heart. And when you describe your gratitude for something, when you see whatever you're going through the eyes of gratitude, that is the eyes of the heart. But you can't get there conceptually. You have to get there physically, viscerally. It has to be true joy, true gratitude that you feel, and the heart is a gateway to that. So thank you for sharing your transformation. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or any experiences of your own with this that you'd like to share?
Kev, I have a question. When you are coherent, you have the cortisol and all of the other stuff running. How quickly does it shut down? Almost immediately when you get coherent?
It's a great question. So what Sharon's referring to is, as we know, you know, our tagline at FAIR is beat stress in a heartbeat, make a difference in a heartbeat. You can literally change to an internal ordered pattern or harmonious pattern in a heartbeat in an instant. What takes longer is the half-life of the hormones. So in other words, if you've been pumping stress hormone into your system, cortisol has, I'm not going to remember offhand right now the half-life, but I think it's 1 or 2 days. It's about like a 36-hour half-life.
Wow.
Which means that you can imagine for people who are under chronic long-term stress, their bodies are just bathing in the stress hormone all day, every day. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to know is, even if you don't feel an immediate difference when you're applying the tools, for those of you that have taken classes, when you're applying the tools that you've learned, even if you don't feel a difference right away, sometimes that's because you're burning off half-life of hormones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you really need to just trust that your tools are working for you. And even in a day or two's time, you can feel a major shift or get a perception change on something that you've been struggling with. You just keep with your sincere application of the tools and the M-Wave.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a lingering effect.
Yeah, the half-life of adrenaline, which is, you know, another thing that we associate with stress, adrenaline is very short-lived. It's short-acting in the body. You can get a rush of adrenaline and burn it off in a matter of minutes or seconds. But the half-life of cortisol is much longer. So, but you can imagine then that your practice of living from the heart is also cumulative, that the more you learn to respond without stress,
mm-hmm.
the less cortisol you're generating, the more DHEA or anti-aging hormone you generate, the more you get on this upward spiral of benefit.
Yeah, I would imagine. Okay, thank you.
For those who are listening who are new to all this, we can actually test your stress hormone levels, your anti-aging hormone levels for you in a very simple lab that you do at home in your own bathroom. You spit in a tube and pee in a cup, and we can measure your DHEA, your cortisol, as well as 7 neurotransmitters that are related to a lot of the antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication out there. So we can really look, get an internal picture of what's going on in, with you, and do kind of a before and after snapshot if you learn our tool. So that can be a really valuable test if you're concerned about your stress hormone level.
Sheva, I have a question. It's Frank.
Yes. Hey, Frank.
Because I'm new to this, and I didn't quite, I understood the part of, you know, basically living in gratitude for some of the simple things that we take for granted. But where I'm not clear on, and I may have misunderstood, is, I mean, does that mean that we don't have to want anything?
No, as a matter of fact, in our advanced courses, and maybe Sharon and Lauren can speak to this as well if they're still on the call, we teach a tool called hologramming, which is a reality creation tool, and we spend several sessions in the advanced webinars teaching you to discern between true heart desires and what we call mind candy or mind fantasies. And mind candy and mind fantasies are the kinds of desires that cause stress. But this is not Buddhism. We're not telling you to give up desire, right? Not at all. In fact, desire is a language of the heart. That's why we have in our language the word true heart desire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have in our classes specific tools and techniques to differentiate between Mind Candy and True Heart's Desires, and how to get to the True Heart's Desire that's at the bottom of every mind fantasy or wish. Because whatever you want, anything you want, behind it you can find your heart somewhere. And the heart will always be able to fulfill every true heart's desire. And so it's a matter of getting to what's the true heart's desire beneath, you know, or when I work with people in corporate America, often we joke about, you know, the stress I'm helping them with is many of them climbed the corporate ladder and got to the top and realized the ladder was up against the wrong building. They got to the top and they were like, wait, this isn't where I want to be. And so that's the problem with chasing mind fantasies or mind candy, as we call it, is ultimately it's not fulfilling for you. It's like getting a two-dimensional cardboard cutout of a wife or a spouse instead of like the real thing, a blow-up doll instead of a real relationship. The mind candy that we follow ends up being empty. And we can recognize that a desire is coming from the mind rather than the heart because it causes stress for ourselves and others.
So if I think right now, for example, if I want something and it's causing stress, it's coming from the mind rather than the heart.
Yes, most definitely. But remember what I said, even stressful mind-driven desire has behind it a true heart desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what in our, you know, the more advanced courses we teach people how to tap into that, how to transform desires that are causing stress, which we would call overcare, into true care and true fulfillment. That's an excellent question, really, really excellent question. And, you know, the advanced course, you know, you need to go through beginner and intermediate before we get into that conversation.
Okay.
So if that's something that's top of, you know, immediate for anyone listening to the call, you'd also have the option of scheduling a private session to drill through that quickly. That was a great question. Thank you, Frank. So fun to have you on the call. Frank and I met in an organization called One Coach, which is an organization for entrepreneurs that I just highly recommend. They have really neat programs. And our Heart Mastery program, which is our year-long program, is modeled very much after One Coach's Business Mastery program. So if anybody, you know, if you're interested in mastering the heart, come see Sierra. If you're interested in mastering business, go see One Coach. Anybody else have any questions or anything they want to add? Sharon, Lauren, anything you guys want to say? You guys still here? Anything you want to say about Heart Mastery before we close up shop for this Heart Start call?
Well, this is Sharon. I have to say that Heart Mastery has helped me so much. I used to be one who would just be in stress and incoherence probably most of the day. And now I have cut that way, way back. And I find that I'm much calmer and much more relaxed and actually starting to live a little bit now thanks to Sheva. And I did join the year-long Heart Mastery, and I'm so glad I did because I needed it. And the really cool thing about Heart Mastery is that once you sign up, you can take these classes again and again and again. And I'm doing it. It's good. It's just an excellent program.
You know, what's fun is we should have before and after sound bites because you can hear the change in people's voices, right? When I first met you, Sharon, and your voice was so tentative and constrained, and now it's so full of passion and can do. Great.
Learning it, yeah. So thank you.
That's beautiful. I think we may have lost Lauren. I don't know. Are you still here, Lauren, or did you have to go? It's always nice to hear about the programs from participants instead of the organizers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's interested in Heart Mastery, all of our members are very, like Sharon, passionate about it and happy to talk to you. So if you're wanting to learn more about our programs, either from me or our members, you can call me personally, and I can also set up interviews with you with other members. I'm at 310-581-1507, and that's a good number to call as well if you wanted to do a private session. And then you can email us info, at Sierra, S-Y-E-R-A, and that's F like fantastic, Sierra.com. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. It was great talking with you, and I look forward to joining you on next week's Heart Start to Your Week. Have a great week, everyone. Good night.
You too.
Right.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.